Praise God, praise God, praise God, praise God, praise God, praise God. Would you just lift your hands and praise Him again? Praise God, praise God, praise God, praise God, praise God. Praise God, 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 praise God. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Somebody say, praise the Lord. Say hallelujah. Praise God, praise God, praise God, praise God. Hallelujah. That's one thing that's never been overdone. Right? Here's what David said about it in Psalm 34. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise will continually be in my mouth. Amen? Hallelujah. I'll tell you what, if I let go, I'd run a little bit. Amen. Just like the man leaping and jumping and praising God in the temple. I'm like the little boy standing up on the church bench. His mama said, sit down. He sat down. He stood back up. She said, sit down. He sat down. He stood back up. She got him by the ear and cranked him down. He looked at her and he said, well, I'm sitting down on the outside, but I'm standing up on the inside. Folks, I'm calm on the outside, but I'll tell you, I'm leaping on the inside. Is your heart rejoicing today? Praise God. Amen. Turning to Micah chapter 5, we'll read verses 2, 3, and 4. But thou, Bethlehem Ephratah, though thou be little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of thee shall he come forth unto me. God said, I'm going to bring him forth not just to you, but to me. That is to be ruler in Israel. Verse 3, therefore he will give them up, Israel, until the time that she which travaileth hath brought forth. Then the remnant of his brethren shall return unto the children of Israel. Verse 4, and he shall stand, he Jesus the Messiah, the Christ, he shall stand and feed in the strength of the Lord, in the majesty of the name of the Lord his God. So I want to talk to you just for a few minutes here about the God of Jesus Christ. If you're God and you've created man, intelligent beings that are capable of knowing God, but they don't know God, how do you make yourself known to those human beings? Now, the ideas out there that God is transcendent and he doesn't directly relate to his beings and all this, and that the Old Testament people didn't really know God, and the only way we can possibly know God is to know God in the flesh, the second person of the triune God, that kind of thing. But anyway, how do you make yourself known? And God has his own prerogatives, and he chose to associate himself with certain men in the scripture and make himself known to man by being the God of these certain famous men. I want you to see that. God raised up a man by the name of Abraham and made him famous, made him great. I think this was it Time magazine that had a painting of Abraham on it a few months ago and said possibly even a billion people on this planet claim descendants from Abraham, because the Muslims claim descendants from Abraham through Ishmael and his second son, Kedar. If you want to do a little study about what's going on in the world today among the Arab people, look in your Bible concordance under Kedar, who was the second son of Ishmael. His first son died childless. His second son, Kedar, they claim descendants from Abraham. And of course, the Hebrew people worldwide claim descendants from Abraham. That's because God made Abraham great and promised him great descendants and great nations to come from him. So then God chose to associate himself in the minds of people with Abraham. Like in Genesis 26:24, when God got ready to reveal himself to Abraham's son Isaac, he said, "I am the God of Abraham, thy father." Well, Isaac certainly knew his father, his daddy, Abraham. So God just said, "If you want to know who I am, I'm his God." Hello? And so God is saying to Isaac here, "You know your daddy, well, I'm his God. That's who I am. I'm Abraham's God." And that brought a certain level of identity. Now, this is God's idea here. And so then in Genesis 28:13, when God decided to make himself known to Jacob in a dream, you remember this, God said to Jacob, "Well, you know your grandfather Abraham, you know your father Isaac, well, I'm their God. That's who I am. I'm the God of Abraham and Isaac. I'm their God." And so God decided to make that. "Behold, the Lord stood and said, I am the Lord God of Abraham thy father, and the God of Isaac. The land wherein thou liest, to thee will I give it." So that God chose to identify himself as the God of these famous men. Okay, we're headed somewhere. When God got ready to reveal himself to Moses then, in Exodus 3 at the burning bush, he says, "I am the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob." So you've heard of Abraham. Said Moses, I mean, they were before your time, but you've heard of Abraham. You know how great he was. And Isaac and Jacob. Well, I'm their God. That's who I am. Well, Moses understood then who he was dealing with, the God of these patriarchs. Exodus 9:16, if you don't mind, put that up. Exodus 9:16, and this is what God said to Pharaoh. Pharaoh hardened his own heart. You know, God, after Pharaoh hardened his heart, then God helped him with it. Hello? I said God helped him with it. And then you begin to read that God hardened Pharaoh's heart. But the first time it happened, it was Pharaoh's own initiative. He made his own choice. So anyway, Exodus 9:16, "In that very deed, for this cause have I raised thee up, for to show in thee my power, that my name may be declared throughout the earth, that I might gain renown." The Bible uses that word, renown. And that means famous. So here's what God basically is saying to Pharaoh. "I raised you up and made you powerful and famous, so I'll be more famous. Because I'm going to be the God that brought down Pharaoh." Amen? We're talking about identity here. To help us understand who is the God of Jesus Christ. God decided to be identified with Israel. The book of Isaiah, God calls himself 26 times the Holy One of Israel. Notice he didn't say the Holy Two or the Holy Three. 26 times in that book, God refers to himself as the Holy One of Israel. So God chose to be identified with Israel. Now, talking about a man by the name of King David. David turned his heart toward God, so God helped him in that. I believe whichever way you turn, God will get behind you and push you. Hello? If you turn your heart toward God, I believe he'll speak to you. I believe he'll reveal himself to you. And if we draw nigh to God, he'll draw nigh to us. Isn't that the biblical concept? And so David did that, and God began to make himself known to David in very real ways, and inspiring him to write those beautiful psalms. and raising him up, and God chose to be identified with David. I want to show you something. 2 Chronicles chapter 21, verses 5 through 7 tells about Jehoram, who was David's great-grandson, possibly great-great. I'd have to go back and count them up. I have done it before. But anyway, he decided to turn his heart away from God. And he married Ahab's daughter. That made Jezebel his mother-in-law. Somebody say that's a problem. So he was just as rotten as they come. He was the rock star of their day, the young king. Became king when he was very young. And you know what? He lived so rotten and led Israel in this thing to such a degree that it was a stench in God's nostrils. And God said through his prophet, I would cut him off. I would cut his name off from Israel. I would destroy him. Listen to me. But God said, I'm not going to do it for David, my servant's sake. And David had been dead 106 years. Mercy's laid up. Because God was David's God. David's dead 106 years and God's still talking about it. There's so much more, but let's just go ahead to Hezekiah. This is found in Isaiah chapter 37, verses 33 through 35. Hezekiah had double trouble. He had cancer, probably. And it was life-threatening. And so right on top of that, isn't it something? Seems like when you get down, the trouble really piles on. And so trouble piled on in the form of King Sennacherib and the Assyrian army surrounding Jerusalem and determined to destroy them and starve them out and wipe them out. And Hezekiah turned his face to the wall and wept. First of all, this man wrote a letter. You know the story. And said, don't let this God that you serve, I know who you claim to be your God, but don't let him fool you, because we took this city and this country and this nation. And so God's not going to deliver Jerusalem. Don't let him fool you. These other gods didn't deliver their people. But Hezekiah took that letter to church and spread it out on the altar. Go back and read it again. And he said, God, basically what he said, God, you can read. And you know what the man says. And part of what he said is true. These other nations' gods did not deliver them. But God, you're not just any God. You're God in heaven above and in earth beneath. And Hezekiah wept sore. And God spoke to Isaiah, and he said, you go tell him that army is not going to shoot an arrow here. They're not going to draw a sword here. They're not going to put an embankment against this wall and breach this wall. God said, I'm going to protect this wall. And by the way, this city, and I'm going to heal you of this cancer. Go back and read it again. God gave him, dealt with both problems at once. Our God's bigger than our problems. Yes. Our God's bigger than our division. Amen. Our God's bigger than a lack of understanding. Yes. Our God's bigger than our questions. Yes. Our God's bigger than our shortcomings and failures. Yes. And he's certainly bigger than our enemies. Amen. Can you say amen?
Amen.
And so God said, I'm going to take care of both of these problems right now. He said, I'm going to heal you, and I'm going to drive this army far away. And he said, I'm going to do it for my own sake and my servant David's sake. And David had been dead 305 years.
Amen.
Hello?
That's right.
That's shouting ground right there. And then 1,000 years after David was dead, a little virgin girl had a visitation from a big angel one day. And what did he say? He found favor with God, brother. He found favor. That's what we're seeking, favor with God, right? We're trying to get this right, folks. God gave us a big old Bible here to help us get it right. Amen? If we just love truth over tradition, And thus saith the word of God over the precepts of men.
Right.
And get the words of Jesus in us.
Amen.
His son. Amen.
Yes.
And so the angel says to Mary, you found favor with God. And you're going to have a child. Listen to what it said. And the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David.
Yes.
David's been dead 1,000 years and God's still talking about it. Hello?
Yeah.
Let me quickly tell you two reasons. David was a man after God's own heart. The Bible says it twice. Once before his great sin with Bathsheba and once after. Because God wants us to know that his cleansing and forgiveness is total. So God said it again after he repented. He's a man after my heart. You know why? Because when he messed up, he fessed up. Is that the way y'all say it? When he messed up, he fessed up. Boy, it's hard to do, isn't it? You ever have to say, I'm sorry? Man, I had to apologize to LaBrisca the other day, and it took me 2 or 3 hours to get up my third. It nearly broke my jaw. I think I'm a pretty good speaker, but I couldn't hardly get that to come out. But the number one that we need to apologize to is God. Paul was preaching repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. And then he said, God, for Christ's sake, hath forgiven you. Amen? So David, when he messed up, he fessed up. And number two, he was a praiser. And God likes that. Hello? I don't have time to camp there. But just look in the book of Psalms and see how David praised God. I heard Adrian Rogers, Southern Baptist pastor, he's dead now. But he was one of my heroes. And he said, I have learned the importance of praise to such an extent. Then when I get up in the middle of the night to go to the bathroom, I lift up my hands and praise God. And I said, if that's good enough for Brother Rogers, it's good enough for Joel Hemphill. So I adopted that. And on ships, on the Gaither cruises, on airplanes flying all night to Israel, wherever we are, I lift up my hands and praise God. Sure, peace. There's peace in it. Hello? And then one day I realized that David must have done the same thing because he says in Psalm 119 verse 64, God, I will arise at midnight and praise your name. But God chose to be identified with David. He was David's God. Are you with me so far? I mean, yes. He, the heavens declare his glory. And no wonder David, somebody has shared this, what is man that thou art mindful of us? Or the son of man that you would visit us? So we're overwhelmed by God's awesomeness. But we do know who our God is. Amen? So, Jesus, God made him famous. Right? Almost everybody in the world knows about Jesus. All they might know is about the baby in the manger, but they know about Jesus. John Lennon was wrong when he stood there at that airport at that news conference and said the Beatles are more famous than Jesus. He was full of baloney. Right? Because about everybody in the world knows about Jesus. Jesus is famous. I found the Father. We didn't know the Father. I'm sorry, we just didn't know the Father. We know Jesus. We knew Jesus. We didn't know him like Brother Dan was helping us this morning. Was that rich? I mean, I wept. I mean, we to honor Jesus properly, we need to know who he really is and what he really did for us. He condemned sin in the flesh. He's the Lamb of God, the kinsman redeemer. If you take him out of our family, he can't redeem us. Naomi said to Ruth, Boaz is qualified to marry you and redeem the lost inheritance because he's in our family. And Boaz said, yeah, but there's one ahead of me. Let's see if he can do it. That's the first Adam. And they went to him and he said, I can't do it. I can't do it. The first Adam couldn't do it. Boaz said, I'll do it. And in Isaiah 42:4, God said he'll do it. He shall not fail. I'm going to put my spirit upon him. Going to put my word in him. And he shall not fail. God's already said it 700 years before he's born. He's not going to fail. If I have to send angels to minister to it, if I have to send Moses and Elijah to talk to him on the mount and encourage him about this death he's fixing to die, whatever I have to do, if I have to put 11 guys around him that are willing to die for him, he had those kind of friends. When he was going to Bethany and thought he was going to be stoned, Thomas spoke up and said, well, let's just go die with him. You can't beat friends like that. Hello? God gave him a praying mother. Read Mary's prayer in the first chapter of Luke, and you'll see this wasn't no 12-year-old girl. This was a praying woman of God. It's one of the greatest prayers in the Bible. He gave him a praying mother. He gave him a godly father in the home, a father figure, to teach him how to be a carpenter and teach him how to be a man and teach him how to be a man of God. None of that violates his will and none of it requires deity. He's perfect man, sinless man. When the devil tempted Joel Hemphill, I said, yes. Lead us not into temptation, we can find it by ourselves. But when the devil sorely tempted Jesus in the wilderness for 40 days, he said, no, 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 no. It is written, it is written, it is written. And the devil went away and bothered him no more. I'd like to get there, wouldn't you, Brother John?
Oh, amen.
Just run him off complete. Hallelujah. I think we're overcoming the dumplings here this afternoon. All we've got to do, as God helps us, and go out there and help people understand who the God of Jesus Christ is, and the job will be done. Now think about that just a bit. The Father's not real famous right now. He should be. He's the creator of the universe. When my dad, when I was about 16 or 17 years old, I was a featured singer on my dad's radio program. So I heard this song, Lead Me Gently Home, Father. Lead me gently home, Father, lest I fall along the wayside. Lead me gently home. Hey, I learned it. I sang it on the radio program one morning. My dad got me aside. He said, son, he's Jesus only. I was too. I just didn't, you know. But I liked that song. Something about it spoke to me. So he got me aside and he said, son, that song you sang this morning, if you'll check the background of it, I think you'll find out it's a Catholic song. And I said, why, Dad? Well, he says it talks about the Father. Father so much. Father. It says Father too much. Guess what? I didn't sing it again. Because we didn't know who the Father was. Hey, I'm talking about a man that walked with God then.
Sir. Yes, he did.
Calluses on his knees from praying in the barn three times a day. He had the dead raised in his ministry. I'm telling you what happened. Two angels at different times, came to my dad while he was in prayer and brought him a message from God, preached the gospel 68 years, a man of integrity, right? Tim's mother died when he was 18 or so, from Baton Rouge. Tim came up and lived with my dad and mother for a while. But Tim was used to seeing God a good bit. My dad got him aside and he said, "Son, don't say God too much now. His name's Jesus. Just say Jesus." I'm just telling you, God wasn't famous in Balkanville. When I went through the King James Bible one day, the light came on. I took my highlight pen. Briscoe was there. And I highlighted every time it says God, Jesus, Lamb. It says God 99 times. It says Jesus 14 times. My precious old dad loved the Bible, but he didn't know that. Couldn't see it. When he was so old he couldn't read, you could come through the house and he would be holding his Bible as if he was reading it. And sometime it would be upside down and he wouldn't even know it. But I'm telling you, 88-year-old man still sitting there at 6 o'clock in the morning just holding his Bible before his face because it was in the marrow of his bones. See, I'm just telling you, sincere people can be mistaken. But it comforts me every day because the day God spoke to me and said, "I'm the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, God of your father, and also your God," he said, "Abraham rests in my bosom, your father rests in my bosom. So I don't worry about it. He's in good hands," amen? Yeah. But you know what? I want to help make God famous. I want to help make the Father famous. Right? Daniel said it. Daniel 9:16. Would you put that up, please? 15, I'm sorry. Because God, you know, lots of things we think God's not involved in, he's heavily involved in it. I don't struggle with why God's let humanity and Christianity go so far without knowing who he is. Because, Brother Dan, it could be a good setup. God made Abraham famous and then said, "I'm his God." He made David famous and said, "I'm his God." He made Jesus Christ worldwide famous for raising the dead, walking on the water, opening the blind eyes, all the awesome things he did, and coming forth from the grave after 3 days, victorious over death, hell, and the grave with the key. And then all we've got to do is help people understand that God is the God of Jesus. Right? Here's how Paul made it easy for us. 1 Corinthians 11:3, he said, well, don't put that up, just hold this. But he says, this is what I want you to know. Paul's winding up here, and he says, this is what I want you to know. That the head of every man is Christ. The head of the woman is the man, and the head of Christ is God. I love to quote that to these Trinitarians. And hey, praise God, lots of times the light comes on. Amen? Hallelujah. So look at this. "And now, O Lord our God, thou hast brought thy people forth out of the land of Egypt with a mighty hand and hast gotten thee renowned as it is this day." God, you're famous. Hey, it's going to work. Brother Joe Martin's helped me with this. Because God said, he's talking about, I believe, our time. 77 times in the Bible, he says, then they shall know that I am God. Right? It's Jesus. Jesus has a God. There's just as much scripture for that as there is just about any other. On the cross, my God, my God. Ephesians 1:3, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. 1 Peter 1:3, Peter agreed. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus said to Mary at the garden tomb, go and tell your brethren I'm going to ascend to their Father, my Father, to your God, my God. On the cross, my God, my God. Then in Revelation 3:12, he says to him that overcometh, I make him a pillar in the temple, my God. This is the ascended Jesus. I'll write on him the name of my God. He will live in the city of my God that cometh down out of heaven from my God. So let's just get out and tell the world, yes, praise God for Jesus, the Son of God, but I'd like to introduce you to Jesus God. Hello? That's not that hard. Let's don't look at the problem now. Let's look at the solution, right? Because God said it's going to happen. God's moving around the world. There's things stirring. Come on now. If you look at the problem, you'll get overwhelmed. Jeremiah did. He said, God, they don't want to hear it. I'm just going to put my hand over my mouth and quit prophesying. Then he said, I couldn't do it. He said it was like fire shut up in my bones. I couldn't do it. Couldn't do it. Had to tell it. Old timers in Balcomville used to get up and say, praise God, when he saved me, he gave me a go tell it. Right? Have you got your go tell it? Let's make God famous. Right? I'm just going to ask you something. Is the Father famous? Have you heard him preached about very much on Christian television lately? How many sermons have you heard about the Father? On Christian radio, how many sermons have you heard about the Father having a faith? That the Father himself is coming. Right? That the Father is going to be the light of the new earth and the new Jerusalem, and Jesus is going to be the lamp. Check it out. God is going to be the light. Some translations have it that way. They all should have it that way. Because it's photizo and luknos. It's not the same light. And the King James both say light. But God's light is shed rays of glory. And Jesus' lamp is luknos. A candle or a oil lamp. Thank God for the candle. Hallelujah. Is that all right? We're talking about perspective here. We're talking about balance. That's biblical balance. Thank God for both. But there's really no comparison. So that's why Paul, Ephesians 3:14, for this cause, I bow my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. If anybody asks you, who's my God? It's the God of Jesus. Anybody asks you, who's Joel Hemphill's God? Who does he worship anyway? Jesus God. The Father. That's my God. That was Paul's God. My God will supply all of your needs through Christ Jesus.
Amen.
Go ahead.
Amen. Amen. Amen.